The Bhajan Rahasyam, discussion of Shashtayam Saran, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of the bhajan surrounding the sixth verse of Shikshastakam, Nayanam Galadashidarya, Varanam Gadagada, Riyagira, Pulakar Nichitam Vapukada, Tamanama Grahane Vivishiti. And this verse from Shikshastakam is explaining the experience that one has. The very beginning level of bhav, when a srup shakti of the Lord entered one's heart by the mercy of the guru, the spiritual master, or the nitya parishads of the Lord, when they favor a sincere and surrendered devotee, and the srup shakti actually contacts the heart, then there's transformations of the heart. The heart becomes soft. Doesn't mean the heart's already soft, it's just tissue, but it means that the chitta, heart is often, chitta is translated as heart or mind, consciousness. So the actual heart or the consciousness of the jiva becomes so softened that it can perceive the subtleties of spiritual energy. It can perceive the very subtle vibration and mellow of Krishna's nam, rupa, guna, and lila. So this happens at the level of bhav. So when one contacts any udipan or stimulus, the alamban of Krishna's name or his form or his description or his lila, when the senses of our body, we hear about it, we read about it, or we smell prasadam or taste prasadam at the level above, then it's because the softened heart will receive these subtle vibrations of Krishna's transcendental energy and potency, and then it will transform the content of our chitta. And that transformed chitta will actually send vibrations throughout our body, which will move the senses of the body. The eyes will be moved to produce tears, the skin will be moved to tremble, the voice will be moved to become choked. So these are the first three preliminary symptoms that appear at the very early stages of bhava bhakti, that the eyes well with tears, the voice chokes up, and there's some trembling or standing of hairs. And that's described in the Guruvastakam, Romancha Kampa Shudhranga Bhajo. This particular guru that's being described here is at the beginning level of bhav. He's exhibiting symptoms of bhav. And at the level of bhav, one has the adhikar to actually have lila pravesh. And because his guru has lila pravesh, then he can go nikunja yuna rati keli siddhai. At the level of bhav, the guru can enter the nikunja lila and render many pleasing services to Radha Govinda Yugal in the context of the kunjas of Vrindavan. So this is the very rare sadguru that's at this level of bhav. So either we have such a guru as a shiksha guru, if we have such a qualifying guru as a diksha guru, that is our great fortune accumulated over many lifetimes. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, of course, this whole section from verse 6, 7, and 8 is all about jata rati sadaka. These are the instructions, specific instructions and bhajan guidelines for devotees who have attained a level of bhava. Before that, the other four verses of the Shikshastakam are for the ajata rati sadaka. Ajata means not born, ajanma. In the sadaka, or in the practitioner, who has not yet come to the level of bhava, then he will be absorbed in bhajan in the first few shlokas, first four shlokas. Trinadapi suni chena, this is nishta. And then nadana najana sundaram, this is ruchi. And then Ayinandatanashikintaram, this is asakti. So after leaving the realm of sadhana at the level of asakti, or intense attachment to the Lord, then one rises to the next stage of bhava, which is a preliminary prem. In one sense, there's like two levels. There's perfected level, bhava and prem, and then there's preparatory level, which is sadhana, vaidhi sadhana and raganuga sadhana. So here, at this level, from our viewpoint, it's like, one thing is like walking on the moon planet, and the other is like looking at the moon planet through a telescope or whatever. So walking on the moon planet is bhava and prema, and looking through the telescope is before that, is in the level of sadhana. So at this point, this shastayam sadhana, we're looking through the telescope unless we're on the level of bhava. We can, for the most of us, we're trying. It's in other words, we're appreciating the beauty of the moon from a distance. We're appreciating the qualities of bhava, the activities and what one experiences at Bhava. And by hearing about these experiences and hearing about the characteristics of Bhava, it is meant to create some samskara or some intense impression in our mind and heart to inspire us to be very sincere about our sadhana bhakti, vaidhi or rag or whatever, and go forward to attain these wonderful experiences that the advanced devotees are relishing from moment to moment. So in this text 16 of Bhajan Rahasyam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining the experience in Bhava, which we discussed yesterday also, how one experiences, when one is chanting Shuddhanam, the pure name, because Shuddhanam is that name which is mixed with Srup Shakti. Shuddhanam means Nam that's mixed with Srup Shakti. Now the Nam that we're chanting before Shuddhanam is it is mixed with Tatastha Shakti. It's basically our Shakti. It's just our energy mixing with the name and our prayers of submission. But when this Shuddha Sattva potency enters the heart by the mercy of the Guru and the ascended masters, then our name will take on a different quality. It appears to be the same, it is the same mantra, and we're chanting the same mantra, but the experience is markedly different. So that is a Shuddhanam. So when we're chanting Shuddhanam, then this beautiful form of Krishna will actually manifest in the Nam, and this is described by the gopis in Venugit, and seeing this verse as depicting this mood of bhav, and the specific bhav that is being shown here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to shed light on a particular type of bhav, because bhav is a preliminary to the full revelation of one's stahi bhav. So first comes the bhav of that stahi bhav, and then the full experience of the stahi bhav when it mixes up with the different other emotions. So he's preparing everyone in Bhajan Rahasyam. This is Bhajan. This is Manjri Srup Bhajan. He's preparing everyone because he's Kamala Manjri. He himself is in Gopi Bhav. And he has written a treatise, How to Develop Gopi Bhav. So he's seeing everything. The verses he quotes, the verses he realizes, which are supportive of this Nayanam Gaudradashnidharya, are all about Gopi Bhav. So the gopis are the best teachers of this bhav, and they are the best revealers of this bhav, and they are actually the acharyas whom we should follow in the footsteps of. Braja loka anusarata, anusaran, guru anusaran, guru anukaran. Anusaran means to follow in the footsteps, anukaran means to imitate. So of course, anusaran is the recommended process, gopi sakhi anugatya. So we should follow the gopis. How? So from, of course, for us, for Bhava Bhaktas, they relish. As the gopis are relishing in a very deep and profound way, the Bhava Bhakta relishes in a reflected way. So this verse is described as being one of the verses of Bhagavatam that most perfectly describes the beauty of Krishna. The Venugita, chapter 21, verse 5. And this is Parhapitam natapara vapukarnayo karnikaram pi brandvasa kanaka kapisham Vajyantim Chamalam Randran Venuradara Sudayapurayan Gopavrindera Vrindaranyam Sapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. With their seeing Krishna through their eyes of bhav, because actually this is how we see everything. The technical term is used is that they say in Shastra, Atmanam Manyate Jagat. Of course, we've all heard this term. Prabhupada used it in his preaching. Atmanam manyate jagat. This is man, mind, that one sees the world and interprets the world according to his mindset, according to the position of his mind. As you think, so you see. If you think in an envious way, or you think in a greedy way, or you think in a lusty way, then you see lust everywhere, you see greed everywhere, you see envy everywhere. If you think in a hateful way, if hate is the overriding mood in your mentality, then you see, oh, so much hate in the world, so much hate in the world. But it's explained that the self-realized soul, Vishram Purnam Sukhayate, Vishram Purna Sukhayate, that he sees that the whole universe, Vishram, has been conquered with is full of Visham Purna Sukhayate, is full of sukha, is full of happiness. Because he never loses sight of his Lord. He sees his Lord everywhere, Anandamaya Bhagavan. Ananda Bhagavan, he sees everywhere. Like we say, Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Aki Jai. So it says in Bhagavad Gita, it also says that verse about one who sees me everywhere. Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamayi Pashati. For one who sees Bhagavan Sri Krishna everywhere, for one who sees, if you see your lover everywhere, how can you ever feel unhappy? If I am in love with some girl, and everywhere I look, I see that girl, oh, there she is, and there she is. That girl who is the source of my happiness, if I only see her at home, or say my wife is the source of my happiness, I come home, I feel happy, but I go to work, and I go out all day, and I don't see her, I feel separation, I feel unhappy, and I'm yearning and longing, when will I go home again to see her? Then upon seeing her at home, oh, now I'm happy. But if everywhere you turn, in business, in home, in the car, you see her beloved. Oh, she's here. Oh, you're here. Oh, you're in the mall. Oh, nice. Oh, you're here. Like sometimes the husband is out doing work, collecting payments or something in some mall or whatever, and he sees his wife in the mall. Oh, you're here. Yes, I'm spending your money. I'm here spending your money. What do you think? Oh, that's very nice. I'm happy to see you, or whatever. But so this is the advanced devotee, the pure devotee, Vishram Purnam Sukhayate. He's happy. So this is Atmantam Manite Jagat, because his mind is fixed in Ananda Bhagavan. So this is another way of saying you see according to your bhav. What is the bhav of your heart? Is your heart full of love? Is your heart full of hatred? Is your heart full of envy? So the gopi's heart is full of Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey. Where Krishna Kahan, Krishna Kahan. Where is Krishna? So they have that. Their hearts are full of gopi bhav. So this verse, they're seeing. In other words, if we love Krishna, when we see Krishna or we hear about Krishna, we'll feel ecstatic. But if we have Krishna, okay, Krishna, I see him or I don't, my day goes on. Did you go to the temple today for darshan? No, I don't have to go. What's this? He's there. I'm here. But some people in Vrindavan, they have great love for Radha Damodar. They come so many times a day, seeing Krishna through the eyes of bhav. So these are gopis in Purva Rag. And this whole description of Venugita, Purva, why is Venugita given in the Bhagavatam? Is it just trying to make the book bigger? Shukadeva was thinking, let me add another chapter here. This book is not big enough already. 12 cantos is not big enough, and 90 chapters. Oh, there's only 89 chapters in the Bhagavatam. That's not enough chapters. I should add another one. Yes, make it 90. Yeah, 90 is very good. Let me add it. It's not thinking like this. Every single verse of Bhagavatam is meant to bring us to Braj Bhakti, Radhika Bhakti, Gopika Bhakti. This is the Sarup of Radharani. Bhagavatam is Sarup, Prem Sarup of Radharani, Prem Sarup of Krishna. It's Rasa Shastra. Through every verse of the Bhagavatam, all the first 9 cantos of Bhagavatam are showing this is a reflection of, this is Braja Bhakti almost. This is Ram Bhakti, this is Prahlad Bhakti, this is Karma Mishra Bhakti of Dhruva, and this is Gana Mishra Bhakti. And all these different kinds of bhakti are told to let you understand neti, 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 neti. These 9 cantos give so many examples of what is not Braja Bhakti. It's something, it's pratibimba, it's like reflection, it's a chaya, but it's not Braja Bhakti. It is bhakti, no doubt. Dhruva had some karma mishra bhakti, gyan mishra bhakti, like this. And Prahlad is shanta bhakti, but it's not the madhurya bhakti, it's not the Braja Bhakti. So the 9 cantos, they take us through all these different, because all of that is in us. There's so much karma mishra in us, so much gyan mishra in us. So much aspiration for heavenly planets and boons and benedictions and Aishvarya and Ram Bhakti and so much Aishvarya and all these different types of activities. And finally, when we clear all that out and weed all that out, then we can have the Adhikar to enter Braj Bhakti. And then it begins with Vatsalya Bhakti, then Sakya Bhakti, and then it comes to Madhurya Bhakti in chapter 21. But that bhakti, that beginning of Madhurya Bhakti is Purva Rag. Because this is the whole, let's say, progression of a sadhaka's entrance into Krishna's lila. He has to also go through Purva Rag. It's not that you just jump into Bhava Vrindavan and you're ready with Snehaman Pranaya Rag. No, there's you have to develop. First rag is purvarag, separation. Yugayutam dameshena. Before there's sambo and milan and actual lila privation, entering the lila to serve, then there must be there's separation mood. That's why Prabhupada explains, and Mahaprabhu came to teach viraha bhajan. Viraha bhajan, separation, bhajan and separation. Hey Krishna, what's it? What's that verse? Hey Brad, hey Vrajadeva Kecha Lalite, hey Nandas, hey Nanda, where are you? I'm here. I'm in your Vrindavan. Vrindavanam Prityajan Paramekam Nagachati. You never take a step out of Vrindavan. Well, I'm here. I'm doing Nirjan Bhajan. I'm Niskinshan. I have nothing. Nirmama. Nothing is mine. I'm doing Madhukari. And I'm chanting a lakh of day. And I'm singing so many Astakams, Bhajans, taking so many snans in Shambhukha and Radhukha and Jamuna. And I'm visiting all the Leela stallies, rolling in the dust, praying to the roots of the trees, praying, oh, Chintamani Bhumi, oh, Kapha Charu, please reveal the Leelas of Radha and Krishna. I'm here. I'm doing everything I possibly can to cultivate Anukulya, Bhajan Anukulya. But yet still, you're not revealing yourself to me. Hey, Radhe, Rajatevike, Chalalite, hey, Nanda Sunakuta. Are you in Govardhan? Where? I have so many prikavans I'm doing every day of Govardhan. Sanatan Goswami, every day Govardhan Prikma. Hey, are you in Govardhan? Listen, I'm Sanatan Goswami. I'm going around every day. Radharani, where are you? Krishna, where are you? So this verse from 10:21, Veno Gita, the gopis are describing, these are gopis in Purvarag that have not yet met Krishna. They have not yet rendered personal service to Krishna. This prior love. So they've seen Krishna going out past their house every day with the cows. They're seeing him from the rooftop or maybe from the roadside in a hidden place. They're seeing him. And they're really getting so much attracted. So they're saying, look, Shamsundar is entering the forest of Vrindavan accompanied by all his coward boyfriends. In his turban, there's a peacock feather. Over his ears, there's one Karnikara flower. And his body is covered by a beautiful yellow dhoti, which is glimmering like gold. And around his neck and extending down to his knees is a mind-stealing garland strung with five kinds of fragrant forest flowers. This is Vaijayanti. Forest means wild flowers. So in Vaikuntha, there's all these organized gardens and bagichas for growing flowers for Lord Narayan. But that's all formality. And it's all very organized. But in Braj, it's called Vaijayanti. Vaijayanti is just wild flowers. There's so many kadamba trees. There's so many latas and malati latas climbing the trees. And the gopis just go here and there and pick the flowers. There's nobody's, hoeing the ground. And because you see, you have to understand who we're talking about. We're talking about the gopas and the gopis. And this is a very informal group of people. It's a very informal group of people. There's two ways of seeing the Vraja Gopis. It's through the eyes of Aishwarya or through the eyes of Madhurya. So that's why they have in Priyad Bhagavatamrita, they say there's Aishwarya Vrindavan and there's Madhurya Vrindavan. So Aishwarya, there's actually two. And those that are interested in, when they read the descriptions of Vrajavati Chintamani and other books to describe these huge vast palaces of Nanda Baba with lapis lazuli rooftops and crystal pillars, and coral bolts, diamond-studded doors with bolts of emeralds and all these things, all this grand opulence, that's in the Aishwarya Vrindavan, where there's big palaces and all these grand things, and Radha and Krishna are there, but in a particular feature. This is described in Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champa and also in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There's actually two. And so those, because many devotees, they worship Radha Krishna, but they like all this opulence and gold and glimmer. But then there's another Vrindavan, and in that Vrindavan, in this Aishwarya Vrindavan, Krishna wears jeweled shoes, and Kavi Karnapur is mentioning that, and Krishna like a Komudi. In the evening time, Krishna goes out onto his veranda, and he's wearing jeweled shoes, and when he goes to the Goshal in the morning, he's wearing jeweled shoes. So these two Vrindavans are there. And then the other Vrindavan, Krishna's barefoot. And Sanatana Goswami describes like this. He's always everywhere barefoot. And this Vrindavan, Nanda Baba and all the gopis, and they're just wandering. They're goshta. They're in the goshta. Wherever the grass is green, they wander. They're called abira. Abira are like nomads. Nomads means a wandering group of people. Like you see these sometimes Rajasthanis, they wander with their animals. If all the cows, it's all dry and no water in Rajasthan, then they gather all their cows and they come into UP and other areas where there's a little more water. and they have a camel. The camel is like their pickup truck, you know, or their combi or whatever. And they load all their belongings on the camel. It's like a very strong animal. And the mother and father and the children and their stove and all their things. And they tent and all these things. And they wander and the cows graze in the fields and they just sleep on the side, move around with the cows. So Nanda Baba and Krishna are like this. So they're not planting, they're not cultivating any crops. This group, Vaishyas, first of all, are landholders. And Nanda Baba, although he's the king of the region on one level, he doesn't have vast fields and big fences around it and say, the OK Ranch, like you have in America, in Texas, you have these big ranches, 40 miles by 60 miles, big, huge ranch, with a fence all around it. And it says RK Ranch, and you know, it doesn't mean Radha and Krishna either, but it means this or that. Or this, ranch means big farm or whatever you call it, ranch, whatever it is. So they simply, the possession of Nanda Maharaj, as Prabhupada repeatedly states, their wealth, what was the wealth of Nanda Maharaj? Because a person's wealth is measured in gold, grains, and animals. Like a king is wealthy because of his horses and elephants. Elephant costs 1 lakh to purchase and 1 lakh to feed. And horses are also very costly. So if you own elephants and horses, you're really rich. If you own cows, you're pretty rich. If you own goats, you're not very rich. Right? So this is wealth measured in animals. So the kings are rich. They can afford to maintain elephants. They eat 200 pounds of food, kilos of food every day. That's a lot of food. A cow eats like, you know, a couple kilos of chopped busa or something. So it's like this. So there, Prabhupada said the wealth of Nanda Maharaj and his family was cows. Cows. And from the cows, and how many? Lots of cows. 9 lakhs of cows. And from the cows, he would produce ghee and butter. And then with ghee and butter, there was a bartering. Not buttering system, no, bartering. He would use his butter in barter. He would barter his butter. Bartering means trading. There was no gold coins and rupee notes and all these things. Look, I'll give you 3 kilos, I'll give you 10 kilos of, give you 10 kilos of ghee, you give me 1 kilo of 1 gram, 10 grams of gold. Okay, whatever. It was done like this. So Prabhupada said, just by trading in ghee, that Nanda Maharaj and his wife, they had saris, they had gold, they had so many things that they would wear on special occasions. But generally, they were just traveling around, living with their wagons, like a chatikar. They pulled all their, when they left Gokul, they went to chatikar. Chatikar means half circle, like chata means like umbrella. They pulled all the bullock carts in a half circle. This is called half circle, right? Half. You know, like half. You know, take a circle and cut it in half. Arda. So they pulled all the buffalo carts, they made a circle, one after the other, a chain. Then they closed that circle with a bunch of bushes. There was a bunch of trees and bushes there. So they made a mandala. They made a goshta. They made a living area. And then they had guards, and they lived there for 2.5 years. 3 years, Krishna lived in Chatikar. And from there, the cows would just wander. And when they're in Nandagram, they wander. In Gokul, they wander. And they stayed in Kanvan for some time, and they wander. They were wandering nomads. And they're just living in their tents, living with the cows. This is the Krishna Vrindavan. So there's no formal flower gardens. Oh, Radharani, go out to the rose garden and pick roses. I just go, what? You know, whatever. The flowers are everywhere. Right? The trees, toot, toot, toot. You just pluck the trees. Just like the bees. The bees don't plant flowers and then go take the honey. Do they? They just fly around and collect what's already there. So the gopis would just walk around and collect all the flowers and make the Vaijayanti garland. A garland of wild flowers. And everyone knows, if anyone's ever done agriculture, that wild foods taste much better than cultivated foods. Wild nuts, wild apples, everything that's growing naturally, it tastes much better. So this is, Braj is, it's a free place. There's no work. We have to remember, there's no work in Braj. It's not, the gopis aren't out there, come on, help me, you know, raking the soil, putting in seeds, get the water, let's water the garden. It doesn't go on. And when you see, it's very interesting, because this, I've heard this question asked from one Guruji, and one Shishi said, well, Guruji, when we read the description of the Astasakis, we see They describe the Lita Vishaka. They had different characteristics and qualities and abilities. It says this one knows how to train birds to sing, and this one knows gardening, and this one knows horticulture, and this one knows all these things. Is it true that the gopis used to, you know the art of sailing and the art of this and that and this and that? He said, no, it's not like that. They had these talents, but that was because Krishna didn't like to have a bunch of just village girls that didn't know anything. He wanted to have educated friends. So when he would have conversations with the gopis, they would say, do you know that you can make, that if you take an orange, and a grapefruit and you make a hybrid fruit, you get a tangelo or whatever. They would just discuss, just to make enlivening discussion with Krishna, exciting to be exciting conversationalists. Just like if a man's going to marry, he may want a pretty girl or whatever, but he also wants some interesting person. That's just, well, what are you interested in? Oh, I just like cooking. Acha, you like cooking. Well, do you have any other interests? No. Acha. Have you studied anything? No. Do you know how to read? No. It's like, what a boring companion. What will you talk about? Nothing. So how much, Krishna is such a vast, knowledgeable person. He's omniscient, all-knowing. So you think his girlfriend's a bunch of stupid cowherd girls who just go choo 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 choo. All I can do is go da 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 and choo 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 choo. You know, make a cow dung patty and pull the teats of the cow and get some milk. So that's why each gopi has have you ever read the description of the gopi's talents? It's amazing. They know sailing, they know the art of this and that and dyeing clothes and making this. It's not that they do any of that stuff and not that any of that stuff is even done. It's just for conversation, to entertain Krishna. And say, do you know about this? Oh, of course, I know about it. You can do this? Oh, that's really interesting. It's not that they sit down and start knit sweaters and things like that. They don't do anything like that. And it's in Radhakrishna Ganadesh Deepika by Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. He's written one book, Radhakrishna Ganadesh Deepika. It describes a different, this sucky chitra is good, does this, that, the other thing. They only engage in the specific arts and services that are required for the immediate pastime and to give pleasure to Krishna. What pleasure, what does Krishna need with horticulture or sailing or this or that? He becomes a boatman anyway. And we see what kind of boatman Krishna is. When Krishna engages in Noka Leela, the boat sinks. So obviously Krishna did not learn the art of sailing very well, even from his gopi friends who could have been his Shiksha gurus. But all those gopis who know the art of sailing, they get on the boat with Krishna and Manasi Ganga, and together they all go to the bottom of the river. Because the boat turns over and sinks. Then Krishna puts his arm around their necks and floats to the shore. Anandakanda Bhagavan ki.